reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 27. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The word of the Lord.
Oh yeah. No, I heard what he said. I heard all too well what Jesus told that man. That thief that he was hanging next to. And you know what? It was drastically different than what he told me. You see, the day that I encountered Jesus, I dropped to my knees right in front of him. He had my respect from the start. You see, I wasn't looking for a handout, okay? I explained to him that I had done the hard work. I just needed to know, was there something that I was missing? Was there some good thing that I needed to do in order to inherit eternal life? And you know, sell all that you own. That's what Jesus told me. Sell it all, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Yeah, right. You see, I was always taught that salvation is a reward for a life that is filled with good works. It is not a handout that you give to people that can't muster up. They can't muster up enough character to earn it themselves. My wealth is a clear indication of the favor that rests upon me from God. I had asked about eternal life, and this disgusting shell of a man, he's the one that gets it? Jesus told him the day he died, he would be in paradise. This man couldn't bleed a drop of goodness that he hadn't borrowed. No, that he hadn't stolen from the righteous man that he's hanging next to. He was a thief, and I'm the one that is treated like I've been robbing God all along. I offered to do what I needed to do. This man offered nothing. All he could do was ask for mercy. And that's how he got salvation. That's how he got eternal life. It was just given to him. Like, it was a gift.
So this morning we're going to continue on our journey into Lent, continue our journey into Jerusalem with Christ. Life in itself is a journey, is it not? And I think that we can all admit at times it can get very confusing, and we need some clarity. We need to have somebody come up alongside of us and spend time with us, because we can easily lose our way or misconstrue or misunderstand what is before us in our lives. And we need someone's help. There is no embarrassment in humbling ourselves and kind of revealing to others that we struggle and understanding what is before us and a need for attention and care. And we have a young man, interesting portrayed by the video, who takes the time, because there's something underneath his skin that is kind of gnawing away at him. And I would say rightfully so, because it's a hot topic. Life and eternal life. I mean, we know we are given a certain amount of years here on earth, and at some point, each of us will come to a place where we will we'll breathe our last, and we'll go into another life. And so with that, it is a very hot subject, one that really requires our utmost concern, that we should never take lightly. And certainly, I think this was at the heart of the rich young ruler who came before Christ, because on his heart and mind that day was the inheritance of this eternal life, which I like to call e-life. This entering into another realm, and in this case, God's kingdom. And it's all wrapped around the subject of salvation. Something that should be given careful attention to. But do we really know the way? Now, each of us probably shake our heads and say, yes, I think I know the way. And certainly the young man that came before the Lord felt he knew the way as well. And he posed it to Christ. He said, you know, what must I do? And I think Jesus' reply to him was more about where he was than what would truly bring him to a place of eternal life. And so Jesus spoke of the commandments to him, to which he replied, I've been doing these things. But there was something more to be said. You see, because if it was certainly enough, I would imagine that the man didn't even have to come and talk to Jesus. That he could have walked away or seen Jesus from a distance and said, I have what I need. I don't need to approach this man. But again, something underneath was gnawing, because I think deep down inside he knew that something was missing. And there was a bit of confusion forming in his heart and mind. This morning I want to talk about the intimacy, because we have been on that subject, can absolutely clear away any confusion we may have on the journey, on what it takes to get to God and stay connected to God, because only Christ can be the one who can clear that confusion. And I want to say to you that there was an underlying confusion going on in this young man's mind and in his heart. If not, then why? Why would this rich kid, this rule follower, this reward earner, this good person. So many things that so many of us can tie to what we think is required by God to be right with him. You know, if I only get up today and I do this or I do that, God will be happy with me. God will be pleased with me, that I'll be on good ground with God. But if that was the case, why chase after Jesus? Why come and make eye-to-eye contact with him? Why pose the question if everything was well? You see, because even if you and I were able to, and I do in capital bold letters say able to, follow the Ten Commandments, well, it's not enough. It's not enough. In fact, they were never enough. It would never be enough. The Ten Commandments are there for a guide. In fact, it's like the Ten Commandments are a scout. They lead the way. They have gone before people so as to bring people's attention to what God has in mind for them. And being good enough is never enough because, let's be honest, how good do you need to be in order to be saved? How consistent? I think the answer would be 100%. And there's no one that could be 100% of the time, right on in their conduct, in their lives. Just wouldn't carry it. And if that were the case, if the Ten Commandments were enough, do you realize that Jesus would have never had to come and die for our sins? In fact, when I think about the Ten Commandments, what I find is that they remind me of how far short I fall of God's standard. How often I stumble and error, and how much I truly need to come up to him and say, I need your help. Can you tell me? Can you show me? Can you guide me? And this is what he would say to me, and he would say to any of us, come, follow me. You see, because that's where the answer lies. That's exactly what the young man needed. And those words would cut through any confusion if we were but willing to receive them. If we were willing to say, yes, I will follow. But immediately there was a conflict of interest in this man's heart. He wasn't able to go there. In fact, I think he found himself even more confused because he just was unable to take Jesus' instructions and go with it because something was in the way. And I want to say to you that for him, it was wealth. Maybe for some of us, it might be the same. I don't know. And by the way, that doesn't mean you have to have so much wealth that it would be unimaginable of what to do with it. Because even with just a little, the little could get in the way. You see, there is a cultural confusion going on in this young man's mind and whatever was passed on to him. And thinking that his life was pretty much on the way because he knew about the Ten Commandments and he practiced them as much as he could. And he felt that God's hands of blessing on him was all over him because of his wealth, because it was connected to that. Do you imagine if you and I walked around and thought that we were blessed by the amount of financial success we have attained? And what about the poor person, the poor soul, who has not been able to get to that place? Who has had a rough road in growing up, who maybe didn't have the education that you and I have had, or the opportunities that you and I have had. Should that deny someone access to God? I shudder to think if that were the God I served. No. There are so many things that can get in the way, and for this young man, it was the wealth. But I want to say to you, for you and I, it could be that, or could be relationships where we deem a relationship, any relationship, more pertinent, more important, more pinnacle to our lives and our existence than the one we ought to have with God, our Creator. Or maybe it's a position that we seem to want to attain and hold on to. A title. A status. Maybe it's our agenda, our plans, where we would never even think about considering going before God and saying, what do you think about this? Because, and I know I've been in this place before, I'm afraid to hear what God might come back and say to me. He might say, I know you really want to do that, but have you ever considered this? I know you have this desire, but I was wondering if you might be open to that. You see, because any of those things can actually stand in the way, serve as the distraction, and even derail the very plans that God wants and has for us. And it could be anything. It's what I choose to place before whatever God has in mind for me. See, because this is what I want. And I've wanted this for a very long time. And, well, I know you're offering, and what an offer it was, to follow you. Jesus is saying, looking into this young man's eyes and saying, let it go and follow me. Let it go. I know you think this is important, but I have something much more valuable for you. Something much more important for your life than what you're thinking right now. If you would just come with me. Now I want to say something to you this morning. And before I do, I want to give you a word of caution before you look to pick up something and want to throw it at me. Hear me out, okay? I want to say to you this morning, it's not about accepting Jesus. It's not about accepting Jesus. I have met a great many people. I have prayed with a few people that were very dear to me. And they prayed to accept Jesus. The Bible is full of stories of people who accepted Jesus. Lord, I'll follow you, but just let me go back. I have to bury my dad. Lord, I'm coming with you, but I have some business I have to attend to. And when I sell my flock, my cow, I'll be right back. People were very willing to accept Jesus. I mean, what was there not to accept? We know about the goodness of Christ. We read about it all the time. But it's entirely another story to follow. Because with my mouth, I can say, Lord, I accept you. It comes down to what I am doing with my life and how I act and where I go and whom I go with. It's what I do. And I think part of that man's approach to Christ was because he accepted this righteous man, as the video portrayed. But he couldn't follow. He wouldn't follow. He wasn't able to follow. And it made all the difference. Made all the difference. And how sad. Because we're talking about the essence of life. It's the very reason why God has given us life in the physical, so that one day we would be able to experience him. To enter into his presence, where we would see him just as you and I are seeing each other this morning. Where we would see his eye-to-eye contact with us for the very first time. That we might come into his presence and hear words of welcome. I've been waiting for you all this time. So glad that you are here now. To have that experience, to receive that salvation, which Jesus pointed out was something hard, difficult, and even impossible to obtain. Impossible for men, for us as human beings. Because nothing you and I can do can attain the salvation that God has for us. Nothing. No good works, no adherence to any of the Ten Commandments, if all of them. Nothing. So hard, so impossible, that Jesus said it would be the same thing as trying to take a camel and put it through the eye of a needle. Now, I know a lot of us, over the years, we've heard different stories about a certain maybe gate. Maybe you heard it, maybe you haven't. If you haven't, you might be interested in this. If you've heard it, just bear with me. That there was a gate in Jerusalem where only the physical body of a camel could pass through with nothing on it. And people draw conclusions that in order to go into heaven, that we would have to be free of everything. But that's, Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was literally saying how impossible it would be for any of us to enter into the kingdom of God. And it would be as simple as trying to take a camel, a creature, and try to put it through an iron needle. That's how impossible it would be. It's not going to happen unless we come before Christ and receive the grace of God, not just in word, but in deed. Lord, I need you. When we realize that we really do not have anything to offer him, that we need him, that we are desperately lost without him, then will we see salvation take place in our lives. Then will we experience the presence of God in our hearts, when we can get to that place and lay whatever it is down that stands between him and myself. Impossible, utterly impossible, without coming to him. And who better to go to? Who better to clear up the confusion in our lives? Who better that can push the problems and take them and crush them in his grasp? Who better to pave the way and to show us what is true and what is right? Who better but the one who is on the journey to Jerusalem to lay down his life so that you and I could have life? Who better? And what an opportunity was laid before this young man. How sad that he was unable to just let go at that moment. By the way, I don't make light of that. I think that one of the most powerful things that you and I can do is to put ourselves in the shoes of someone else, to understand where they're at. Because you and I have, we know our own journeys, but so often we lack the understanding of what other people have experienced and gone through in their lives. And when we do, we tend to look down our nose at people and even judge them. It's when we realize that we are all made of fragile material and are willing to go to the place to try to understand what another person has gone through in their lives, can we have compassion for them and understanding, to know how difficult their journey might have been. And although this young man might be one to be perceived as having a silver spoon put in his mouth early on in life, he was still at a deficit. Still a great need, because all his wealth wasn't enough. And I want to say to you that we can fill our lives with so many different things, and it will never be enough. It will never be enough. Mr. Rockefeller, years ago, was interviewed by someone. If you ever want to get the history on Rockefeller, just Google it, the great wealth that was there. And the question was asked to him, how much more do you need to be happy, to be content? And he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. You see, because in each of us, there is a God-shaped vacuum, God-shaped hole. And you and I could try to fill it with whatever we want. Marriage, family, business, finances, vacations, and on and on. And all good things, by the way. Fill it all. But it will never fit the space. Because that's a shape that God has preserved and established for himself. And nothing will fill that hole except that God-shaped peace, which is Christ, which is coming up to the one that we need to go up to so that he might clear our confusion and make straight the path that we need to step upon in order to find his way through this life, in order to make the journey with him. And by the way, there is no substitute for that. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely none. Only Christ. Nothing can be substituted for that. Only Jesus can come in and show us. We have been given but one name, one person. And this morning, he walks before us, metaphorically speaking. But in faith, he walks before us. And I think we do well to go to him and say, Lord, what do I need? What do I need to do? What stands between you and me? What do I need to give you? Maybe no one's ever posed that question to you, ever, in your life. But I want to pose it to you this morning. You see, because Christ comes today, and like the young man, he looks at us, and he loves us. That's what he did with the young man. He smiled at him and looked at him and loved him. And he gave him the answer that that young man needed, which was, sell all you have and follow me. And this morning I want to say, no matter where you are in your life, in your faith, whether you have faith or not, Christ comes and makes himself available to each of us. And he looks into our eyes, and he smiles at us, and he has something to say. Are we willing to hear whatever it is that he wants to tell us? Are we willing to consider what his words are for our lives? And I want to say to you, you're sitting here today, this is no coincidence. For whatever reason you think you're here for today, and you might be right on in your reasoning, God had a purpose for you to be here, to worship together with us, to hear the message. Because he wants you to know that he's making this journey and he wants you to come along with him. He would say to each of us, come, follow me. Follow me. And he's willing to hear your buts. You know? I've never heard Jesus in Scripture say, stop with your excuses, okay? Or, let's be real, okay? But he did encourage people. He did challenge them. He did address their excuses, their reasonings. Not because he wanted to put people on the spot, because he loved them so much that he wouldn't let that opportunity go by without saying, but follow me. Follow me. Let's take an intimate moment with him before we go. Father, I have no doubt from the moment this service started that you were desiring to make us aware of your indwelling presence in this place. And so, Lord, with that in mind, O God, we want to thank you for this time, this intimate time to be together, to walk together, to journey together, to hear your voice. And we pray, O God, Lord, that we would not just here today, but in the days and the weeks to come, oh God, that small, still voice that would just break into our conscious minds and hearts and put your arm around us, O God. And help us to adhere to your invitation, O God. Thank you for inviting us into your presence, always. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we might see you and hear you. Oh God, would you help us when we struggle so hard to respond to you? Would you help us to respond? Help us, oh Lord, because at times we're unsure and even frightened at the prospect of following you. Where will it take us? What will you say to us today, tomorrow, and the day after? But Lord, help us to rest in you, knowing that whatever you say to us is good and for our good, and we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.
Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Go in his spirit, his power, his love, and make a difference for him this week in your own life. Amen. God bless you.
So I'm going to do this for the sake of those who are going to shake my hand. I don't make anybody sick.